Hello everyone and welcome to the episode. Start again.
Das ist immer gut alltag. Hello to.
You are listening to In Response, a legacy podcast. A show where three handsome guys talk about their favorite Magic the Gathering format, Legacy. This show is brought to you by QueerNessAtAnyCost.com and austrian-legacy.com. You can support the show at patreon.com/response_legacy. And now, lean back and enjoy.
Hello everyone and welcome to the probably most deceptively named episode that we have done until the recent times, to episode 32, Tearing Up My Cards of
In Response,
a Legacy Podcast.
I'm Philipp Klein.
I am Daniel.
And I'm Peter Plank.
And we talk about Legacy.
Most of the time.
So like I said beforehand, we are addressing the monkey in the room or the elephant in the room here. We talk about the Legacy banning today.
I think we're the first one that talking
about this. I'm fairly sure not, because I've seen a lot of content creators twittering all over the place that they're recording also today.
For sure, yeah. This was just a joke, of course.
Yeah, so we are certainly not the first. Probably not the last, but yeah. We do what everyone will do
we're
today.
We're somewhere in the good middle in between, I would say.
Yeah, like a sandwich.
Yeah. So we have...
We're like the ham in the sandwich.
The ham, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we're a good piece.
Yeah,
we're the best piece because it's out of meat and not vegan.
Is this Ben talk or is this vegan talk? We should do a separate episode about this. So we have Tuesday, this is the 25th of January. Fresh, we have a new ban list of Legacy.
And so, in Standard, there's...
Oh my god, do you see this?
Standard? If we're gonna talk about Standard, I always thought that I'm talking about the subtle epiphany.
Yeah, sublime epiphany.
Yeah, that is gonna get banned, and I was thinking about, like, what the fact the card is just a 5-mana...
6-mana.
6-mana crazy cryptic command.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah. It is a staple in Omnitel.
Yeah, it's a staple in Omnitel.
Okay, this card. Now I've got it. Oh my god.
Well, and Peter mixed up the card and he thought that
it's Elrond's.
It's a different epiphany.
Yeah.
And I really had hoped that Plague Engineer or Prismatic Ending got banned for Legacy.
For Legacy?
Yeah, because everyone is writing in Twitter like, yeah, and he had PE and then I did this and... Both have the shortage of PE, and I don't know which card they're talking about.
That's true, yeah.
That's why I'm always using a PE for Plague Engineer or Pending for Prismatic Ending.
Or just Ending. Is there another card with Ending?
I'm not sure.
Lifehack.
Probably. I can save myself one letter that I have to write. What can I do with all this time?
Yeah, I think it is almost a nice foreshadowing from our last episode, if you recall.
Oh, yeah.
Hit me Reggie one more time.
But not twice.
But not twice, because he's gone now. It seems that Reggie 1 is banned from the Legacy format.
It seems so. It is so.
It. Yeah, no, and that's it. Because a lot of people were thinking about especially other cards that could potentially be banned here. And I think from what I've read in social media is that a lot of people were kind of disappointed, actually.
Yeah. Or
me underwhelmed.
Too. Me too.
You also, okay.
Yeah.
So we just have Ragavan.
Yeah.
What do you think? Or what do we think about this? Is this... a proper ban, or Philip, you said you're underwhelmed or you're disappointed, actually.
I mean, like I tweeted, it's something. it's certainly a step in the right direction. But I don't think it will address the problem that is Blue Red Delver. Mm-hmm. It has simply gotten too much in the last 2 years. And it's not just the machine that the monkey was. So you also have the expressive iteration and the Murktide, the Force of Negation, and Dragon's Rage Chandler.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all these cards, the only two that I can see that are a little bit oppressive are mm-hmm. Murktide Regent and Expressive Iteration. Mm-hmm. Although I certainly love myself playing some Expressive Iteration, it just feels good. It's a house of a card. It's very powerful. And that's maybe, if I say a card is strong and I like to play it, maybe it should be banned. That was the same with Death Rat Shaman. I really love to play it. So
I feel you, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. And Murktide, yeah, like I said in the last episode, I'm probably a little biased here because most of the decks I like to brew around are a little bit weak to Murktide. The clock is just too extreme. And
so you wanted Murktide to be banned also?
Yeah, for sure. In my perfect world, there would have been a real upheaval mm-hmm. of the legacy format with 7 to 8 cards banned.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. A massive overhaul, actually, of the format.
Yeah, for sure. But you would address so many problems at once, and then you could just unban again and look into the cards.
So you would just go full in one direction and then go back step by step.
Yeah, like they did with Pioneer.
With Pioneer, yeah. I mean, this was also because the format was freshly introduced. Yeah. I think this was also the case for Legacy in the beginning when it was introduced. I mean, I just had a nice memory I had. A misunderstanding, or I didn't know that actually. So I learned something today. At the beginning, actually, Legacy and Vintage had the same ban list.
Yeah, that's true.
This was shared. I didn't know that. And for example, a lot of people was originally banned from Legacy. And like simple cards that would never be banned, like Kim the Turk, for example,
mm-hmm.
was originally banned. And this was because of the shared ban list. Or in this...
Is him still restricted in Vintage?
No.
No?
No, okay. For sure not.
But originally, it was at least it was banned in this time where it was just one ban list.
Yeah.
And so a lot of banning and unbanning was happening during the time frame. And it was, I think, in 2004 when Legacy established or got its own ban list, when the bans were more conservative. And I think this was also the case for basically all formats that... Yeah, were formed, created in the beginning. They need to see the level of the power level where the cards should be.
Yep.
And therefore, a lot of bannings and unbannings happen naturally. I think this is just natural cause and effect.
Yeah, true. Because if you start a format, you have to look out where the format wants to go. It's the same with Modern, where there was the big overhaul where they banned Faithless Looting and Mox Opal and I think another card in the same... Back.
Or
Bridge from Below, where they said, we strictly don't want to have consistent combos on turn 3,
mm-hmm.
that we're gonna ban these cards because they make an unhealthy playstyle for the whole meta. Because with Faithless Looting, you had a lot of Grizzlebrand decks that
mm-hmm.
could reanimate him on turn 2, and Affinity and some decks like Kaiser and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Were just too fast with Mox Opal in the format. So they had to ban them. Mm-hmm. For Pioneer, they did the bannings for the combo decks. They said, we strictly want to have some synergy-driven decks. We don't want to have the combo decks to be on the forefront in the format. And so stuff like the Lotus combo is in the format, but is definitely not a turn 3 deck. It's definitely not a turn 4 deck. It's more likely a turn 5, turn 6 deck. More like a turn 4 to 5, more likely a turn 5 deck, but is a lot more control driven, I would say, up to this point. And for Legacy, they had a beautiful sentence at the end of the mark for Legacy, where they said, we don't want to ban too much of the format now. We have a close look on Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they say that we have Eternal Weekend around, but
yeah.
It's half a year
Take
ago.
Take it if you will, or yeah, whatever. Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's a problem here.
They will have a look onto Legacy, mm-hmm. and they will see how it goes. And maybe they will do something similar like they did with Popper. But
yeah, we're going to talk about the panel. I think afterwards.
I just wanted to say, I get your perspective on this, or let Philip on your approach to the banning. Of course, there might be the risk if you would do it like this, that you know. For example, I think a good example is we have now actually two examples. The power level of cards always depend on their surroundings and the current metagame, right? So, for example, in Modern, we have Renin 6. It's a perfectly fine card. In Legacy, it is too broken, mostly because of Wasteland.
Yeah.
And the same might be true for other cards that right now in Legacy might be too strong, but this can be caused by Ragavan being present. For example, Ragavan enforces make non-blue decks better in what basically is said, because a 2/1 body without any evasion is just going to be blocked. Like Death and Texas, for example, doesn't care about Ragavan.
That's also
the thing why I wanted to get Murktide banned in the first place.
Yeah.
Because with the decks that I play, the monkey is a non-issue almost all of the time.
Yeah.
And Murktide is that's why I said I'm biased here in this in this direction.
Because you're mostly playing non-blue decks, and Murktide is a big problem for non-blue.
Even if I play blue decks, they're mostly combo-based.
Yeah.
And so I'm probably faster than Ragavan or the one card.
Yeah.
Isn't really feasible for them to use. I mean, what are they doing with Rite of Flame with a Burning Wish?
Yeah.
I mean, Delver mostly plays instants in their sideboard or creatures, and maybe the one of End the Festivities in their sideboard. Yeah, okay, have fun with the End the Festivities versus Phoenixes.
Mm-hmm.
it's.
Yeah, I mean, it depends a little bit on the combo decks, because, for example, against Doomsday, Ragavan is so powerful.
Okay, yeah.
It can mess up the piles really bad. And yeah. I can speak, for example, from the Storm side. Against Delver, one of the best cards to have would be Carpet of Flowers. And with Ragavan, people would just not play any lanes out when they have treasures to cast the spells, which severely makes Carpet of Flowers worse.
I mean, Carpet of Flowers has also the downside of being a non-land card that gets Prismatic Ending,
which is another big
part of the picture here. But yeah, Ragavan is just insane versus the blue decks. It's
especially
combo versus combo decks, because combo plays the discard and is bad against this card.
Yeah,
and if you rip the Duress, the Forces,
also very bad.
It's really, really bad. And yeah, treasure tokens are an issue, because a few days you aren't really set behind the mana, because you have the treasure to cast some spells, to lay down and Dragon's Rage Channeler or whatever the second threat is. And yeah, it's just really, really hard for blue decks against it. But the problem here is that I don't think that Delver will get much worse against the normal blue decks. I think it will still have a relatively good matchup, but it will definitely get better versus the non-blue decks. For the likes of Maverick, Elves, and stuff like that, because this was a card that was bad against them. It was like, do I give them a treasure and two minus my life total, or do I trade a valuable elf? Heck no. What does it do with a Nettle Sentinel to cast off of top of my deck? And yeah, maybe the non-blue or the Delver decks get now even better in the form, because they have a better matchup against the other decks.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's what I wanted to say, Matt. I mean, you have gotten the words out of my mouth, because you don't have to confuse my stance here on banning Ragavan, that we don't have to ban Ragavan, because I think it was certainly the right call. Mm-hmm. I just need to take a step further.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because everything you said is just true. The Delver decks will just pop out the Ragavans because they're banned now, yeah? and replace them with Delvers. And the problem is, that, like you said, Ragavan is great against blue decks.
Mm-hmm.
And Delver was a blue deck, so it was great against Delver, against the Mirror 2.
Yeah.
And now, like you said, they will be better versus non-blue decks, and non-blue decks were already struggling against Murktide.
Yeah.
And so, in my opinion, the right call would have been ban Ragavan and Murktide.
Mm-hmm.
So
that non-blue decks won't get suppressed that hard.
Yeah, I really think that this Ragavan ban is a nerf for non-blue decks.
For sure, yeah. I agree on that, yes. And
I mean, but what are the win rates currently for non-blue decks? Because I think
Nexus is okay.
Elf was really, really good in the format.
Reanimator
was really good.
Really nice, yeah.
I think the non-blue decks aren't currently with Ragavan in the format.
Yeah, yeah.
And
now this is the point that Philip is making here. With Ragavan being gone, the non-blue decks will significantly get worse.
I mean,
but more cards to pitch for Fossil Will, a 3-2 flyer.
It might be as soon as
turn two.
It might be the case that Murktide needs to be banned in the future as well. What I don't like is banning it right away without the knowledge of it actually being too good, because you might be right about this, but. Another example, in the past, I can only recall one situation that happens in Modern. They banned Bloodbraid Elf from Chant in Modern back then, when clearly, retrospectively seen, Deathrite Shaman was the problem.
Yeah, that's true.
And they just banned one card, and they weren't really consecutive about this, or conservative, rather, about this. And When you ban things too fast, you run into the risk of that cards die for other sins, you know, for the sins of other cards.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Astrolabe died for Oku. Yeah.
No. That's not true.
That's maybe a different discussion. but I personally would want to avoid this. Yeah. And therefore, I like this approach of being conservative, going like step by step and seeing how the format develops. Maybe the non-blue decks will be fine. We don't know yet.
Yeah.
I would certainly agree here if we would have a better communication with WotC, and if there would be regularly communication happening with the player base, and not every half a year we get a statement.
Yeah, it's kind of random. Yeah.
That's the problem. You can do the banning step by step, every 2 months or every 3 months, like we had back in the days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you can take a step-by-step approach and lead the format in the right direction.
Yeah.
But you simply can't do it if you have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, it might be in 1 year or half a year.
If there's no communication, if you're just screaming into the void all the time. That's a problem. And we don't even have the data that the WotC has. We have the legacy data project from Joseph Dyer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And these are the only things we got, and we have to build our opinion on this.
I mean, I'm not saying that everything else is fine. I think it is very likely that we will see bans in the future as well. For example, Express Iteration maybe, or Murktide, like you were saying.
Or Uro, which was another
Uro
card.
Uro is also on the list, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Uro would be on my 8 cards to be banned.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
we will see. Maybe these cards will be banned eventually, or maybe not, because new cards also enter the format until time goes by, and a lot of cards will get worse or better depending on what cards are being played in the format. This is also things that you just can't say for sure.
because yeah, of new true. Sets. And with the power creep that's happening, it's probably really certain that it will happen.
But yeah, one thing I wanted to address with the Bennett restricted announcement is I think it would be quite good to go back to the old system of having, like, as you said, a 3-month period where bans are regularly happening, or a 2-month period where bans are regularly happening. Something like you do it like 1 month or 1.5 months after each big set announcement, or when a set comes out, so you have some data. You can, if some deck is way too powerful, you can ban a card or something like that, and you don't have the constant saying or rumbling around in the communities like, I think we are gonna have a ban announcement in like 2 weeks or in 1 week, and this card has to be banned and this card has to be banned. And it's like, yeah, every week we're waiting for an announcement on Monday or Tuesday that something gets banned.
I mean, it's not like that the player base don't recognize when something is wrong, right?
Yeah,
I
think we recognize the problem like before Eternal Weekend, which is like three, 4 months.
I would not say that this is all that of a surprise. Let's say when I say I go to FNM and suddenly one card of my deck is banned and like, what? And now I can't play this deck anymore.
No,
this
but is not it's, the case. It's the period before the announcement, like 2 months before, because we know there is an issue with the format.
Yeah.
And can I buy Regavans?
Yeah,
am I not allowed to buy Regavans?
Yeah. You talk about financial
not
concerns.
Only financial, yeah.
But just have a little bit of safeness, like a safety net. If you know, okay, in 3 months there's a banning maybe happening, but there's a ban announcement, I can just buy my Regavans now. Because I can play 3 months at least with it.
So financially, of course, this would be better to plan it in advance. The problem for WotC, and I think it is important to give them this, is they kind of need a little bit of flexibility because metas don't shift every 3 months, or it doesn't, the broken decks don't really appear after a distinct amount of time when a new set is released. It's just irregular. It can happen at this event or at this week and this challenge. Very random. And I think the flexibility is a good thing, that it doesn't have to be strictly at this point.
They had emergency bans.
Yeah, if it is way too broken, you can emergency ban out of
Hulk
release times.
Hulk Flash was an emergency ban.
Yeah. But if you keep in with the 3 month period and you have like an abstract like 200 words long or 150 words long,
what they think about
the format. So you have an update, what is going on, what is with the data, what is an inside perspective in the format. And I think would be good if they do this.
I think this topic blends now really perfect into the topic we are discussing afterwards, of the panel. So maybe we're postponing this.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
This now. We can maybe talk about, since we have introduced, we have given our opinions on
more or less
the style that happens from the banning. But we are here right now. We have from today on, basically, Regavan is banned from the format.
And nobody had to tear their cards up because you have played it in Modern, Daniel.
For sure, yeah. I will keep playing it.
You have had the Regavans.
I played them once and I borrowed them from Christian, but they were trash in my deck. And that was a really good feeling because I didn't have to buy them. And I think back in the days it was like kind of okay because they were about 55 euros each. And now, after the bans and they got saved for Modern, it's like 90 euros a piece.
80 to 90, yeah.
Yeah, it's like basically insane.
Yeah, the same thing happened to Oko back in the day, so nothing new.
And Renin 6.
And Renin 6.
And so, for me, I didn't have Regavans. I have also just borrowed them out from a friend and played them once in an FNM in Mardu, but they are... They're okay. They're this good cards.
They were good.
Yeah. They're good cards, but they're not oppressive or overpowered in any kind of way.
I mean, anyway, concerning this, Regamon is gone now, and what do you think will happen to the format? Are there any best decks now? Well, I guess it would be Delver still. It's the best deck. I think this is kind of without any question.
Yeah,
true. Should be still Delver, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
we still have elves that will be good in the format, but got a little bit weakened because the Delver matchup got a little bit worse. I think that we still have Reanimator in the forefront, and I think Reanimator have pretty much the same win rate now against Delver, because I don't think it changes that much if you change up Regavan for the Delver. Maybe they got a little bit better even, because Regavan could hit some discard and like, hit the reanimation
spells. I think there was some article that Max Torsion read.
Yeah, that's a really
and
great article. Yeah.
He suggested, or he supposed that the Devil lists, of course, will play the full playset of Delver again, and then some flex cards like True Name Nemesis and or Brazen Borrower.
Yeah.
And I think especially this card might even...
The Borer could be an issue now for the Reanimator decks.
Yes, they can have a bounce outlet for their Reanimator targets. And this
main
could...
Deck.
Main deck, yeah. And this could even improve their matchup against Reanimator. And also, strictly speaking, Delver, if it flips, of course, is
a good clock.
A better clock than Raghavan.
Yeah. Premier Threat, really.
Yeah. So in that sense, I think Reanimator will, against Delver at least, be a little bit worse.
Yeah, true.
I think we can also, like we addressed this in the beginning, we can say this for all non-blue decks, Elves, Death and Taxes, all these kinds of decks, will get worse because Chunem Nemesis is an issue and Brazen Borrower gets rid of anything problematic.
Brazen Borrower bounces Keldra with ease.
Yeah, not and they still got
the
Merc's Head.
Yeah, the token, yeah.
Yeah.
And then it just sticks on the battlefield.
And nothing. Dark Depths, for example, is also not a problem anymore in game one.
I think the one deck that will improve in this metagame is like the four color control piles.
So the Uru piles.
Yeah, the Uru piles.
Uru wins.
Uru decks will definitely get better here.
Completely agree. Any Uru based deck will.
So I think that blue will still be as good, maybe even better now.
Yeah,
I think maybe even better because
blue got better. Yeah,
Blue got better.
I mean, blue overall Delver, got better
Uru,
because
Uru got better.
Delver got worse versus the Uru decks, but Delver got better versus the non Uru and Delver decks. Yeah,
And Doomsday got better.
Doomsday got immensely better.
So what this ban has has done, in my opinion, is just push the top tier decks even higher.
In the short term, yes. I'm not sure if this is the case in the long term, because decks can adapt.
Yeah, for sure. It's just from the things that we know now. Yeah. For sure, I can't see into the future.
I mean, combo was not that oppressive. It was actually not very good
in
the past, and combo is playable again. A lot of people are saying that, for example, also this card is good again. Because
this card is better. Definitely.
It's better again because of Regan being gone, which sparks the question for me: will there be more Veil of Summer because of more discount being present?
I mean, it will be a wave development.
I think so too.
If combo gets way better, and we see a lot more discard, I think Veil will come back into the sideboard, because currently I think in the band and four color control decks there is not a single Veil of Summer.
There is no need, because basically nobody is playing discard.
And you don't have the time to play reactive with a Veil of Summer. That's another thing.
True.
Because with Murktide, with Regavan, you had to push every you aren't allowed to use the break in the match.
Yeah. And control decks shifted its gears. Like in the past against control decks, when the control is playing against combo, they had just a handful of counter magic and basically that's it. nowadays they shift the gears towards having more like NASET effects, a hull breacher, deafening silence. All those cars that proactively are a hate card, disrupting against combo. They don't need to hold up counter spells that much like in the past. And therefore, this card was not really an issue for control decks when they're playing against combo because they had their NASET on the battlefield. I mean, what I'm going to do with my handful of cantrips, wanted to sculpt my hand when I just can't draw any cards when NASET is on the battlefield, or I just constantly have to fear Hullbreacher being flashed in, for example.
That's true.
All these problems, or Deafening Silence being hit on turn one. Then I just need to dig for my answer, and then my opponent can maybe develop another Planeswalker, another threat, and then one counterspell is enough, and that's it. So, but maybe since this card is better because of Raghavan being gone, maybe the need, or let's say the people will adapt also to playing more Well of Summer again. This could also be...
Could be
a consequence based on that. But I'm doubting if this card is like back in a big way.
No, for sure not.
I also don't think so. Like it's still problematic, yes. As a color.
I think I found the new card for our last topic.
Okay, I'm intrigued now. You had my curiosity, now I've got my attention.
But yeah, I think combo will get better. Uru decks will get better. I think Delver decks will get better. I think
non-blue gets
a little bit worse. I'm really interested how Painter will adapt, because Painter drives in a blue environment.
Well, naturally, it should get better, because when blue is getting better, then Pyroblast gets better, right?
And especially with Raghavan, the non-blue threats getting removed. And
you just have only the Dragon's Rage channel
that you have
to handle.
The only question is, how good are you against combo decks as a painted deck?
I mean, overall, it's 50-50.
Because combo will get better. And that's like every matchup.
No, I think it depends on...
That was our first joke of the episode, half an hour in. We are very, very stern this time.
So basically every matchup is 50-50 then, yeah? Because you either win or lose.
Yeah.
But sometimes you can have a draw.
Yeah.
But you don't
if you
want
play
draws.
If you play
you gotta play fast. Then you just have 50-50.
Okay. Or like Gino said, you just win.
You just win, yeah. Oh, how do we think is Gino bad position in the format right now?
We said non-blue gets worse.
So Chino Pile is probably a little bit worse for listeners who don't know what Chino Pile is. It's the rule from a one and only Patreon. Shout out to Chino. He plays around in Legacy with Xenagos, God of Revels, and Emrakul, the Aeon's Forms, via Tooth and Nail.
Yeah.
So that's basically Chino Pile.
Mm-hmm.
And it's non-blue, so it gets worse.
It's non-blue, yeah.
So... Yeah, but I...
What decks will you pick up in the upcoming meta game? What
Peter, tell us.
I will most likely get on my new brew.
On the new brew?
Painter.
This is a painter brew.
I mean, it's not the painter brew. It's using the same shell with Espo Sentinel and Utsa Saga. But I will try to pick up some Helm.
Mm-hmm.
Helm of Action.
Yeah, Helm of Obedience. And I had 3 empty slots in the sideboard.
And you put the painter in?
No. I was thinking of putting in him to Turok.
Why? This card is bad.
To address combo even more.
No, to have some card advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Against control. Against control and stuff like that, yeah.
Well, really? Watch out for Wheel of Summer then.
I don't think it's going to be played in the local meta.
In the local meta, maybe not, but overall...
Are you going two or three colors?
2 colors, black, white.
Then why don't you play Night's Whisper?
Because it costs life and gains me 2 good cards and my opponent can discard 2 Yeah, I mean, maybe Night's Whisper.
So basically, this is a black, white... is
Helm.
It
black, white Helm.
Black, white Helm.
With Leyden of the Void, with how's he called? The Void.
Dirty Void Walkers.
Dirty Void Walkers.
And Esper Sentinel and Esper in Sentinel an Urza Saga package saga to be able to grind.
With Stoneforge.
Okay, Stoneforge, okay.
For everyone interested, we got the list online on our Discord. Just join our Discord server. You can find the link in our link tree and our and on our Twitter and probably also on Facebook.
Yes. Yes. Also, we have a Patreon.
And down in the show notes.
Down in the show notes. And we have a Patreon where you can subscribe and get some nice in response goodies and merchandise even, some kind of.
Yeah, the only place where I can merchandise at the moment. At maybe the moment. Maybe in the future.
Yeah. It is, what is the link? Patreon.com/...
Response_legacy.
Yes. Perfect.
Okay, and back to the topic. Daniel, yes. What will you play in the future?
In the future of Legacy. Since combo is...
Monkeyless future,
yes. Since combo is getting better, this is great news for myself because I'm a dedicated combo player in Legacy most of the time. And I will for sure try Storm again. I'm not sure if it is good or Doomsday will just be the better combo deck. I think it is certainly the case. But I wanna...
It's not always about being better.
So yeah, for sure. It's about the fun, yeah. And of course, I will try Storm because, we mentioned before, Carpet of Flowers would be better against, especially Delver again. This will be a good plan. Since non-blue decks are getting worse, Storm is usually better in these fields because the worst matchups of Storm basically Stompy-based, like Chalice or all this kind of stuff. These are the worst matchups.
Okay.
Yeah. And blue decks are particularly not really a big problem.
Yeah. How are our main deck Leyland of the Void decks for Ant?
Yeah, no, typically they're accompanied by Chalices and Trinispheres and something like that. And that are problematic. Without, like, Curses, for example, also has them, I think.
Yeah.
This is not that bad of a matchup because just a ley line and maybe a combo win, I don't know, is like I can play around graveyard hit.
Okay.
This is...
It's mostly one turn later or two turns later, am I right?
Yeah, and I can still... Like when there's Chalice and Trinisphere, I just can't sculpt my hand.
Yeah.
And if a ley line is on the battlefield... I can cast my cantrips. I can find a way to just go off with Ad Nauseam or, I don't know, have maybe a natural storm with Tutor Chain or something like this.
Yeah.
So a Leyland is typically not an issue at all.
Okay.
But if there is Chalice or something like this that's combined, this is a problem. The other deck that I want to try is that I've been toying around in the recent past. This is Omnithel. I'm not sure if it is good, but there are versions that play Uro, and Uro is getting better. I'm kind of thinking not playing it as a real combo deck, but more like a control deck with a combo finisher.
Is this the blue-green version with Eureka, or is it an Eureka-less?
Some play Eureka, yeah,
okay.
but there are lists that also don't play it. It's very, very different.
Okay.
But it is blue-green based, and they have Ice Fang Hotel, Uros as a grind element in tool element, and they have forces. They even have dazes. And then there is this Omniscience package with Show and Tell, Omniscience, and Cunning Vision, so on and so forth. So it's basically a control deck with a combo finisher. But there's a little bit more dedication to the combo because you need like 12, 16 cards for the combo. Of course, it is quite heavy investment. You just can't go full combo, full control.
Yeah. You mean as I did with my four color painter deck back in the days?
Yeah,
which was kind like of, 5, 6 dedicated combo cards.
Yeah. I kind of want to toy around with this potentially. So this would be the two directions I'm heading towards.
Yeah.
And Benny, what about you, Phil?
Yeah, I will be playing my trusty old Phoenixes.
The old time trusty.
Yeah, I will be true to them because they only I have just some sideboard options that I want to address because I really like the idea of necromancy on the sideboard against Doomsday.
Yeah,
it's certainly great, and I also reincorporated the one of reanimate. that was so funny. I've played on Saturday at the one of our friends at a private
a local prayer group.
A local prayer group. Yeah, I don't want to call it party because we are six people, so it's not really a party. But we just met to sling some cards. And I played versus Dominic on Black Red Reanimator, and I have put the Reanimator in the sideboard, and he just got, I think, Faithless Looting into discard Sarah's Emissary.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, okay, land, LED, Rite of Flame, Burning Wish, grab my Reanimate Sarah's Emissary. On creature. Good game. Yeah, and it's just glorious. And so yeah. I will for sure, maybe the slot will be that I'm cutting will be Massacre.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have never ever wished on a Massacre. I have never needed it.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, you would need it versus Death in Texas. But most of the time they have a failure out. So it's like, four mana,
yeah,
and against then a deafening port.
Silence, and
yeah, and what does it kill? Nothing that relates to the graveyard.
Yeah,
it would only kill the failure. Yeah,
yeah, it's just not good
and
enough.
And it's really, really hard to play versus the failure. Yeah, yeah,
and versus Death in Texas, I simply want turn one Phoenixes or turn one 14 Goblin tokens.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, I'm not sure how is Containment Priest still played all that much. It might be a concern, but even then,
how does you play the Containment Priest that it gets massacred?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like it stops the first combo turn. For then sure, you need another combo turn to get to, or another Burning Wish to get to the massacre, and then you need another combo turn, which is like basically hoping that
it is
Easter and Christmas is on the same day. Yeah, as the good old
really
German
good
saying goes.
Summary here.
Yeah, that's true.
And yeah, on Saturday also I played for the first time ever in my life Jeskai Stoneblade in paper.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're a blue person now.
Shame on me. Shame.
But I hope you also noticed, but this is not the first time that I'm saying this.
Yeah, that's true.
You tend to play more and more blue decks in the last recent time.
Yeah, unfortunately. That's just because Margaret is such an
underplayed?
Playable color.
Yeah, underplayable, yeah.
So you tell me that you are now a Brainstorm connoisseur now.
True.
Yeah. But Brainstorm is cool. It's a really, really cool nice drug. It's like cocaine.
But Reanimator is technically Mother, right?
Yeah, but it's combo. I can certainly play blue combo. That's totally okay. But
playing value blue in value is
that's not mine.
Not your jam, right? Yeah.
But in Jeskai Stoneblade, it's cool.
Should I brew up now and Mardu all combos pile with Esper Sentinels?
Yeah, that's cool.
With Helm and Painter,
like the Black Death deck, but
like Black Death,
but
just
converted to Mardu,
more colors. I think that's worse then, but
it's way worse. It's really hard on the Urza Saga now.
Mana base gets worse.
Mana base gets really, really bad. But
so sign me up.
Actually, I told you I've brewed around with.
But you can't wait with. You have to cut the Saga. You have to cut the Esper Sentinels, but you can play the Tombs because you play
I'm taking notes.
That you can get a Paint, a Grindstone, and a Helm of the Exile.
I mean,
it's gonna be something.
I'm not hearing him, actually. So, yeah. These are the two decks that I'm playing right now and that I've sleeved up.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm very hopeful that the future will bring something new, mm-hmm. something, some new brews that I'm working on.
Oh, for sure.
Maybe even some Mardu colored or blue black colored, like I have. You've seen the list already.
Yeah. Sure, a nice one.
It needs a little bit fine tuning, and it will certainly be on one of our future episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And as we talk about future episodes, why don't we start to talk about?
Oh, we skyrocket straight into the next topic.
Oh yeah. I just wanted to get the curve here.
That's
and,
a good curve.
And it was a good curve.
So Daniel,
yeah,
tell us about the future. What are you doing?
What I'm doing, well, I'm basically finished right now.
What you did.
What I did. I had, well, actually, why don't we start about the story behind this? What wasn't this like a 5-minute decision that we made?
Yeah, hey, I think we were sitting around talking about what could we do that's kind of some new, more and better strategical content.
I remember I released, I think, I'm sorry, Peter, but I think I released my legacy end page on the website. And Philip, you just asked me, hey, whether did you already ask Kai to write an article on that?
Yeah, it and was like that, yeah.
Kai Savitari, because he's also a Storm aficionado and a really nice guy. And Philip said, hey, have you already talked to Kai to write an article on the webpage? And I thought, this is actually a nice idea. I just go ahead and ask him. But he told me he's not really into writing stuff, but he's more into speaking. And I fully understand this and I can appreciate this. And I thought about to myself, okay, what can we do then differently to maybe still do some kind of cooperation? And I thought about doing a special episode about Storm with Kai, and like doing a little bit of a deep dive and in-depth talk, just a session of chatting. And I want to highlight some of the aspects that we talk in an article that I write on the website, and then I can also publish some written content on there, for example. And then I think I presented this idea to you and you said, yes.
And I think I said, yeah, we can. Why don't we make a series out of
a
that?
Series yeah. And you can talk to, well, I'm not spoiling in all the guests right now. I mean, don't want to do this.
I don't want to spoil the guests because it's basically in
the works.
In non-wet sheets, as we say in German.
Yeah. but we thought about some people that we could ask to have like separate sessions of, like, each of us has some specialties and special interests of decks and archetypes. Mine is Storm.
Mine will be about Painter.
Painter. And what will you, your specialty, of course?
Probably Cenk.
Like brewing.
Yeah, brewing.
For example, yeah. And we thought about, why don't we make a little bit of in-depth talk so that you guys can also learn on our interest a little bit more.
Yeah.
And we have really nice guests to be accompanied by this. And yes, I already teased my guests for this. This is Kai Savitari. I did an episode with him about Storm, about Ant specifically, and I think it turned out really nice. I had a lot of fun with him. It is he's a very, very great guy, by the way. And it will be released hopefully in 1 week or 2 weeks. We start the series. It will not be on a regular basis. It will be whenever we feel it is right to do so. And yeah, I hope you guys will like it. I hope you guys are excited as we are about this.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And yeah, this is kind of a new experiment that we did. And I think this is a nice addition to our new, like the main schedule of our podcast that we have.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. Fear not, the shit talking will resume here.
It will not go anywhere.
Yeah, but it will be a way different style than...
And by the way, how is it called?
No, we aren't spoiling this year.
We are not spoiling?
We're not spoiling.
Okay.
Yeah, we have to be thoughtful with our spoilers.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, that's true, for sure.
Okay.
Okay, so that was about the future. If shall we advertise our Patreon here again? No.
I mean, we did it already.
We did it already.
Response underscore
at the end, yeah.
And follow us on everywhere on social media.
And Instagram.
Okay, I think last but not least, we can talk about a little bit of our magic private stuff. I mean, I teased myself on with the first time paper legacy that I had in months at the a little play group style. So Daniel, what happens in your MTG life?
I signed up because I'm interested in this kind of cooperations or tournament structures that happens. The Blue Dojo from Italy is hosting a Modo tournament.
The MTGO Heroes.
I think it is the second iteration.
Yeah.
They already had one. And it is basically a free tournament. You can sign up. I mean, right now it has already started. And it is 5 rounds. Where you play each week. You get a new pairing. And you play within this week. You play against your opponent. And then there is a cut to top 8. And I think once per week, also, the Blue Dojo will live stream and they will collect some of the matches that want to play on live camera and get featured on the stream.
Yeah, it's basically every Tuesday, I think. And this week it's on Thursday. Yeah.
Yeah, something like this.
Yeah.
And I signed up. And the nice thing about this is because we have bannings right now, I think this one would be one of the reasons why they did it like this. Each and every week you can change your deck lists.
Okay, that's so great.
Yeah, you have to send in every week a new deck list. And I for myself started with trusty old Storm for the first
time. Yes. Who would have seen this?
Yes. Yes. And I'm excited. I'm not sure how I will fare. I think what I've heard, there's also some prizes. They have some merchandise from Blue Dojo.
Mm-hmm.
Did you will get? This is really nice, I think.
They are from Verona, am I right?
Cremona.
Cremona, okay.
Cremona.
That's
the shop, as far as I know.
Is this near Verona?
Or is it
on a completely different...
I gotta Google this, but I think it's in the south of Bologna, at Firenze.
Okay.
I'm not sure here.
It must be in the Po area.
It must be somewhere in Italy, yeah.
Somewhere in Italy. No, there's this Po area. Yeah, don't you know the Po area?
It's the Po, really? I don't know where this one is. The Po Plains.
It's like around the Garda-Lake. This is the Po Ebene.
Okay. Yeah, and it's really likely.
Northern part of Italy.
Okay. It is really, really likely there that there will is. Be...
So at, completely at the
at
Po
the Garda-Lake...
It's completely in the middle of northern Italy.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where... I mean, the Garda-Lake should be like here, I think.
Probably, I'm not sure.
A little bit more south of it.
Yeah. If it's in a reaching distance, I will definitely travel there in the summer.
Well, I think it from our hometown, it should be, I don't know, six hours.
6 hours, yeah.
Something.
It's 6 hours from here to the Garda-Lake. To the top of the Garda-Lake.
Probably 8.
It should be 8 to 9, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So I can...
Because we travel... Yeah, six hours is for Marchesine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's probably 1 hour after Garda-Lake.
Okay. I will see it how it goes for me. But yeah, we can continue with...
But yeah, they also have... big legacy tournaments in paper sometimes. Mm-hmm.
They have a great community.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's
two,
for sure true.
Two hours it's from... Maybe I will go there. Mm-hmm. But 2 hours is a little bit long.
But if you are on vacation already in...
If I'm on vacation, I will... If I have the time, I will go there. If they have some paper legacy tournaments.
I'm going to crush a local meta with your painter brew.
Oh,
my helm brew.
My helm brew.
Yeah.
No, you helped me tune it.
That's true. That's something that I...
What do you have going on in private metric, by the way, then? Because this is
I've
my...
I bought myself some helms.
You bought yourself some helms.
Because I sold again some cards to a friend we
really?
All three have.
Yeah. I was there also.
To Tom, yeah.
To Tom.
Shout out to Tom.
Yeah. A friend of mine also sold himself the cards. I've talked about Flo a lot here on the podcast.
Yeah.
And he bought himself a playset of Scrublands now.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He's deep in the helming side. Because he's also playing Black White Helm most likely, but in a quite different way because he doesn't enjoy the sagas. And
okay.
I said, sagas are way too good.
Yeah,
to
that's
not
true.
Play them.
That's true.
And yeah, he also had an Espa Helm deck that he played on Friday Night Magic, which I also built and sent Phil, and we talked about the list.
And I tuned it also.
And you helped me tune. Yeah, I mean, Phil is just the man that I sent the lists to because he has some experiences with brewing, and that's the reason he will talk about brewing most likely in the show. Okay.
Yeah, that's my problem. I simply love it, and I love toying around with bad ideas and make them good. But because they're bad ideas, they're most of the time not good, even if you put good cards in it.
As a friend of mine told me when we were making some music and recorded it and mastered it, you can't make a steak out of a burger meat, out of a burger patty. So... If the thing that goes in is bad, the thing that goes out is also bad. I mean, you can make it better with seasoning.
Yeah,
that's true.
And like brainstem ponder and stuff like that.
But it's the seasoning of flesh.
It's the salt, the pepper, brainstem and ponder.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, I wanted to put in Snapcaster Mages into my Rest in Peace deck.
I mean, this is very
really it was
wrong.
Like for 10 and 15 seconds after thought about it, it doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I can totally understand this because the only reason why I'm playing Jeskai Stoneblade at the moment is because of flashing back expressive iteration with Snapcaster Mage.
That's good, yeah.
So great.
It's a value overhaul.
Oh, that's so...
It's the good old 3-for-1.
Yeah. That just feels so great. That's the only reason why I'm playing Jeskai Stoneblade.
I mean, in the list I sent you,
yeah,
I don't think that I made the sideboard yet, but there will be 3 mentors in the sideboard.
Okay.
Because if I don't want to go with the Helm plan, I just go with mentors.
But then you need 4 bubbles.
I have the 4 bubbles.
Yeah, but you need them in the list.
Yeah, most likely. 2 in the sideboard.
I have them in the binder. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's not Burning Wish. It's Peter's Wish.
Yeah. I can get my bubbles from the binder anytime.
Then you just draw it.
Because we're talking about wishes and stuff like that, I really, really enjoy the learn cards and the lesson cards from Strixhaven,
Strixhaven.
I think the concept is really, really interesting because it's on the ban list. They've got a 3 mana card band that has like learn, and you can bounce a spell that costs 1 or a creature or a permanent that costs 1.
Okay,
With learn, and that means
that's divide by 0. But
I
have seen it today for the first time ever in my life,
and
so I was surprised by it. I got banned.
Yeah, but it's just a 2-for-1 because it bounces the card, and I mean. It's a tempo for... It's just a tempo card.
It's not a 2-for-1
because it just bounces, but it's... Yeah, it's a tempo card because you bounce something. I mean, it's negative tempo because it costs 3. But yeah, you gain a lesson card that can be good in a matchup. Like, lesson sweeper.
Doesn't learn work this way that...
You can put in a lesson card or you can discard a card and draw a card. So it's just, if you gain a lesson card, it's just, you gain a card.
Yeah.
Which is like really interesting because I've seen Brian Cook play some lesson cards in a combo deck in, was it? Pioneer and stuff like that.
So why did you actually now talk about this lesson card?
Because I saw it in the band announcement.
Ah, the band announcement.
And I find, this is a nice concept. Closure. Really, really cool.
And okay. I talked about Burning Wish and Peter's Wish.
Now I get it. Because I was really confused why we're talking about Standard right now.
You were just sleeping for one second and now we're talking about Standard and Pioneer.
Yeah, oh my God.
What has the podcast become?
No. Okay.
Response. So Standard Podcast.
Standard Podcast.
That's probably a really, really bad name. Do you want to say something
No,
else?
I think because he said band discussion, this wraps an episode nicely.
Almost. I just.
You have one more topic?
Yeah, I have one more topic.
For sure.
Gino
yeah.
has asked me on Twitter. He has
about Sturmgag?
Yeah, about Sturmgag.
we I should gotta, collaborate, yes.
I gotta I address this. Back in I think pre-COVID times, was it 2019?
End of 2019, I think it was.
Yeah, when Underworld Breach and was pretty new, we went to Card Market Series in Prague, mm-hmm. and there I had the idea to play to brew around in a Hogak deck that can win via Tendrils of Agony via Storm. And basically, what you had to do was mill yourself with Stitcher Supplier and sack it with Altar of Dementia mm-hmm. and play it again with Underworld Breach mm-hmm. and do this all the time and get the mana with LEDs.
And you mill yourself. And
you mill yourself and then you can Tendrils of Agony your opponent. And since then, Gino always asks me when I'm brewing Sturmgag.
Stormgag, yeah.
Yeah. And it just doesn't work because
Underworld
Breach is banned. And he just simply won't get
time.
It.
But maybe this time.
You need something like the Impact Tremors.
Don't get his hopes up. I already abandoned the idea.
I will
but
do
I like
something
the name.
Up.
The name is really
great.
Nice.
Because, Stormgag. Because if you Germanize it, it's like a slang word for diarrhea.
Yeah. that's
kind of
funny. A nice deck name to have.
So that's the mystery of Sturmgag.
Yeah. And on that note, I think we can end
we
the
can certainly end here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you like what we are doing, consider supporting us on Patreon, patreon.com/response_legacy. Follow us on Twitter, it's @response_legacy. You can find me on Twitter, it's @finnekmtg, PHINEKMTG. Also, a really, really huge addition to our podcast is greatnessatanycost.com, Daniel's website about modern mid-range and legacy aunt.
Yeah.
And Peter, where can we find you? And certainly also on Instagram.
Not on Instagram. But you can find the podcast on Instagram. It's @response_legacy. But you can find me on Twitter. It's @unicornlord. But the Lord is a zero. Where can you find you, Daniel?
It's at Twitter, of course, @FlyingDelva. And as Philip already said, on Greatness at Any Cost. And you can also catch us up in our Discord, for example. We have our own legacy Discord in response.
A legacy Discord.
We will put the link in the show notes.
Yes. And yeah, if you like what you're doing.
Support us.
Support us.
And
in response. See ya.
This was In Response, a Legacy Podcast. If you enjoyed the ride, feel free to support the show by following, leaving a review, or subscribe on patreon.com/response_legacy.